The reading is the letter from Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love, as it is none other than Paul, an old man, now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become both useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
It's great to be starting a very short series in Paul's letter to Philemon. This is only over 2 weeks, and I'm introducing it, and Kate will be speaking on it again next week. Before we start into the letter, though, I'd just like to try and bring you an encouragement. Maybe you're somebody who's following a Bible reading plan, and maybe you're stuck in one of the longer books of the Bible, maybe Isaiah, Jeremiah, or, let's be honest, Numbers and Leviticus, which can be really hard to get through. Why not just take a short break and jump through to Obadiah in the Old Testament, or possibly 2 John or 3 John in the New Testament, or the letter to Jude, or this letter to Philemon? They're all beautifully short, and they'll help you to move forward quickly in ticking off letters and books that you've read and make it feel like you're making real progress instead of being stuck in some of the harder things. But let me encourage you, it's definitely worth keeping on. So as we come to this letter to Philemon, let's try and establish some context so that we have a way of understanding what's going on here, because as with any letter, you only have half of the discussion. And to establish context, we need to ask a few key questions. Who wrote it? To whom was it written? When was it written? Why was it written? If we consider those questions for Philemon, we can say that it was written by Paul, probably around AD 60, when he was in prison, we think, in Rome. And it was sent to Philemon at the same time as the letter to the church of Colossians in Colossae was sent. And It was sent to somebody as a personal letter, uniquely so amongst the letters we have from Paul. It's the only person-to-person letter. The rest are all intended for church use. Why was it written? Well, because we've had the entire letter read to us by Joe just now, we can tell that it was written in order to appeal to Philemon about a runaway slave called Onesimus. Now, Onesimus had somehow met up with Paul, we think in Rome, had come to faith and had served Paul well. But they both knew that now that he'd come to Christ, at some point he would have to return to his master. And so Paul writes this letter on behalf of Onesimus and sends it with a letter to the church at Colossae with Tychicus, another faithful brother in the Lord. Philemon, we think, must have been wealthy, partly because he had a house that was big enough for a church to meet in, and hence the greeting that Joe read included the church that meets in his home. It seems he was married, probably to Apphia, and that possibly Archippus was his son. So we have a nucleus of believers and a church that meets in their home. But also, Philemon perhaps met Paul on his business travels, maybe in Ephesus, and was brought to faith himself. When he returned home, he established a church in that house, but he still had slaves, one of whom was Onesimus. So we can assume that Philemon must have had some personal standing, some personal wealth. And so the challenge that Paul lays at his feet is to go further than he's ever gone before, to be more active in the outworking of his faith. And we're going to take a look at that just in a few short minutes. But this is the shortest letter that Paul has written, the most personal letter that Paul has written. And he doesn't start by, as it were, sounding out his credentials and saying, "I'm Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, sent to the Gentiles to preach the good news." No, he says, "I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus." A lowly state, a personal state, something that makes him vulnerable to Philemon and doesn't come in as somebody who's trying to command authority. He then goes on and says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," which is a fairly standard greeting, but meant totally sincerely. And then he goes on to say, "I'm praying for you, and I always thank God for you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus." What a great thing to say. Wouldn't it be great if we felt that Paul could say that, or Jesus himself could say that to you and to me? You know, "I give thanks for you because you are faithful and loving to all God's holy people." It's a fantastic start, and it's designed to build a rapport. It's designed to say, "Philemon, we know each other. Let us remember the mutual affection that we have, and let me just commend you because I've heard how well you're doing in your faith." He then goes on to say, "I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ." And we're going to look at that in a bit more detail in just a moment. But let's first start asking ourselves a few questions based on this. Paul commends Philemon because of the outworking of his faith, because it's active, because it shows love to his brothers and sisters in the faith, because it's faithful to the one who lived and loved and gave himself for Philemon and Paul and Onesimus, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask myself, how active is the outworking of my faith? How much of an impact does it really make? Would Paul thank God for me if he were here and if he knew me? What practical difference does my life make to others, to you, to those around me? These are questions that I think we sometimes duck, but we ought to ask, even though they can be uncomfortable, because they can spur us on to love and good deeds. We can go on and ask even more, but we'll come back to that in a moment. I want to focus on verse 6 for a moment. I've paraphrased it. "Your faith in Christ, Philemon, leads you to love actively. You are at work in a practical way, sharing your love. Let it take you still further into an effective love and sharing an outworking that deepens your understanding of all the fullness of life that we have in Jesus Christ. And you remember in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." And Paul is encouraging Philemon to go deeper, to press in, to learn more. He wants him to have a deeper understanding of what the fullness of life in Christ is all about. I want that for myself. I hope you do too. He says this life is one that is shared by all believers of whatever standing. And of course, that's a good platform to start to think about the person of Onesimus, who is merely a slave. The reason for that is because Paul starts his appeal on the basis of love, not justice. According to Roman law, Philemon, who was the owner of Onesimus as a possession, if you like, could be really severe towards Onesimus. Not just throw him in prison, he could have him beaten. He could have him branded with a letter on his forehead that would show that he was a runaway slave. He could do terrible things to a runaway slave. That was his right under Roman law. And morally, other slave owners would say, "Philemon, you've got to do it. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile." He would say, the whole of the Roman economy throughout the Roman Empire is built upon slavery. There have been estimates of millions of slaves supporting the whole Roman economy. If you allow them to start experiencing freedom, if you let them get away with something, you could bring the whole edifice crashing down. So Paul knew what he was asking. He doesn't come on the basis of justice, he appeals on the basis of love. Philemon's love for Paul, Paul's love for Philemon, Philemon's love for his fellow brothers and sisters, and his faithful love for Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, and I'm sure this is something that will be developed next week, that Onesimus should be taken back not merely as a slave, but as a brother. He's asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And if there's anything missing, if Onesimus stole from Philemon before he ran away, then charge it to my account, says Paul. Charge it to my account. Forgive him and be reconciled to him as a brother in Christ. Sometimes we think we have a choice about forgiveness. Sometimes we think we have a choice about reconciliation. Sometimes, you know, we think that it's the right thing to do and we must do it. But actually, let me tell you, it's Christ in us who wants forgiveness to be expressed. It's Christ in us who wants to be reconciled through us. If we allow Christ to live and work and move through us, we will be seeking to offer forgiveness, to receive forgiveness, and to be reconciled one to another. Now, I don't know if there's anything between you and anyone else. I pray that God's Spirit might show you if there is. But do you, do I, do we allow Christ in us to move, to show forgiveness, and to seek forgiveness? Or do we want to exercise our rights? Paul would say, Christ in you wants to express forgiveness, to offer forgiveness. Christ in you wants to be you to be reconciled to your brother. Christ doesn't want you to stand on your rights, even though they are your rights. He wants you instead to offer faith-filled love and to be reconciled. The challenge of just of this short introduction to Philemon and to us is that we can go deeper. We can understand more of all that Christ has for us and all that Christ wants to do in us. But we do have to sometimes make some hard choices. We do have to lay down our rights, our preferences and our priorities. And instead we have to turn to the Lord who offered himself for us and say, live through me. Express your love through me. The reconciliation of one to another that you won on the cross for us. Express that through me. In that letter that I've already mentioned, letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, Paul writes to that church of which Philemon was a part, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's almost a commentary on this introduction to Philemon. It's allowing Christ to live through us with all of those virtues and attributes, seeking loving reconciliation, doing away with grievances through offering forgiveness. See, the gospel transforms our relationships. It makes forgiveness and reconciliation with all Christians possible and necessary, whatever their standing. And that is truly explosive and world-changing. People sometimes wonder why Paul didn't say, let's do away with slavery. He couldn't. Not in that world, not in that culture. But he's sowing seeds that transform culture and society. And those seeds he can sow into your life and into my life as well. If we will take him at his word, if we will allow Jesus to become greater in us, if we will not just be active in our love, but effective in the outworking of our love, then together with Jesus, we can create a new humanity. This is his intention, to create a new humanity of equal partners who share together in God's healing mercy. We wouldn't have to have campaigns about Black Lives Matter or any lives matter if we were being true to Christ and to the transforming work that Christ is trying to do in our hearts and lives. That's Paul's appeal to Philemon 2,000 years ago. That's Jesus' appeal to you and me today. So as we come to the end of this particular introduction and this passage, the final verse 7 that we're going to look at says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Let us be people who refresh the hearts of the Lord's people. Let us live an effective and loving life that transforms relationships and allows Christ front and center, that he may take us deeper, that he may take us further, that he may increase our understanding, and transformation breaks out to the glory of God. Amen.